The Holy Gospel according to Luke, the 8th chapter. Then Jesus and his disciples arrived at the country of the Gerasenes, which is opposite Galilee. As he stepped out on land, a man of the city who had demons met him. For a long time he had worn no clothes and did not live in a house, but in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he fell down before him and shouted at the top of his voice, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, do not torment me." For Jesus had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. For many times it had seized him. He was kept under guard and bound with chains and shackles. But he would break the bonds and be driven by the demons into the wilds. Jesus then asked him, "What is your name?" He said, "Legion," for many demons had entered him. They begged him not to order them to go back into the abyss. Now there on the hillside, a large herd of swine was feeding, and the demons begged Jesus to let them enter these. So he gave them permission. Then the demons came out of the man and entered the swine, and the herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and was drowned. When the swineherds saw what had happened, they ran off and told it in the city and in the country. Then people came out to see what had happened, and when they came to Jesus, they found the man from whom the demons had gone sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. Those who had seen it told them how the one who had been possessed by demons had been healed. Then all the people of the surrounding country of the Gerasenes asked Jesus to leave them, for they were seized with great fear. So he got into the boat and returned. The man from whom the demons had gone out begged that he might be with him. But Jesus sent him away, saying, "Return to your home and declare how much God has done for you." So he went away, proclaiming throughout the city how much Jesus had done for him. The Gospel of the Lord. I would have to conclude that loading a legion of demons up into swine and sending them headlong over a cliff and into a lake is not a very effective way of eliminating them. I say this for one reason only. Legion is alive and well among us. Even here, even now, even today in this sacred place. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not alleging that Jesus was an ineffective healer. Clearly, the man that he helped, the one who reappears in the story clothed and in his right mind, greatly benefited from all that the Lord had done for him. What I am saying is that demons are powerful and they are real. And while perhaps they actually can be destroyed by sending them headlong over a cliff in a herd of swine, there is something more powerful and more potent and more destructive about demons than we are usually willing to think about or talk about. But today's texts challenge us to do exactly that, to bring our demons out into the open. I can't speak for you or for your demons. I would never presume to. There's no need. I have plenty of my own. Racism, sexism, pride, anxiety, self-doubt, good old-fashioned sin. And those are just the ones I'm willing to talk about out loud, publicly, in a sermon. Further, I find myself living in a land plagued by demons. We seem to provide a rich petri dish in which they can grow. Racism, sexism, pride, bullying, gun violence, rape, homophobia, fear of just about anything that's unknown or different from us. When did we lose the wondrous, inquisitive spirit with which God created us? When did we come to prefer instead that everyone and everything be a mirror image of ourselves? When did we become so plagued by the desire for the dull sameness, as familiar as the facade of every Old Navy or Baby Gap in any city across the country? There is at the root of all this sameness, this lack of creative imagination and acceptance of the other, the virulent demon of self-centeredness. The devil you know is better than the devil you don't know, right? We've concluded that if everyone and everything were just exactly like me, what a wonderful world it would be. Dull, but wonderful. Self-idolatry. Or shall I put it in more hip social media terms? Selfie-idolatry. To live isolated from others and from the wondrous possibilities that their imaginations and life experiences might bring to us is to live bound and in the tombs. It's to live just like this man was living, the one that Jesus met when he stepped out of the boat in the land of the Gerasenes. We are not freed to the way things might be, to the possibilities that God lays before us in the wide diversity of the human community and its various cultures, clans, and traditions. Instead, we are chained to the same dull playbook of repeated possibilities that is as narrow as our own selves. Such a cult of personality is a rich and fertile breeding ground for demons. Selfie-idolatry. One of the great gifts of a life of deep listening, deep formation in the Word of God is the gift of a kindled imagination. For deep in the words and the actions of Jesus is the rich imagination of new life in spite of all the demons that surround us. There is no need for us to continue to live naked and dead among the tombs. No, in the words of St. Paul in today's Galatians text, there are new clothes laid out for us. The kind that clothe us in our right mind, the mind of Christ. These are baptismal clothes that do not wear thin, but wear sturdily and remind us day after day that in Christ there is neither Jew nor Greek, neither slave nor free, neither male nor female. Dressed in baptismal robes that Jesus offers, we are clothed to see ourselves not as a collection of rugged individuals, but as a community in Christ. A community. Men and women who are no longer afraid of the demons that the world hawks. Men and women of God who see deep in the lives of each other possibility, life, love, hope. As God cracks open our lives to the power of the saving word, and our communities in turn are cracked open to the rich and wondrous lives of new children of God, we live the gospel gift out loud. We break free from the chains that bind us, and we, like the man set free in the gospel, can't wait to tell the world what God has done for us. Demons will surely come. They might most often come in the form of those around us who are afraid. The text today warns us of exactly that possibility. But demons, by the power of Christ, will also go. They are not the last word unless we give that power to them. There is no need for us to live like that. There are new clothes for us to put on. And Christ himself, the fabric and the thread, the weaver and the tailor, the gifter and the gift, bids us come home. Come home and declare how much God has done for us. Come home and be clothed in our right mind, the mind of Christ. Our clean clothes are waiting, laid out. They're ready. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.